Get it. And I do think that some of the things in the Old Testament we can apply, even though they're not written directly to us, we can apply those things to our own lives and our own walk. One of the verses I'll look at, it says that God is watching. Now there's a song that I think Beth Midler did about God is watching us. And I think when it comes to us as body members, he's watching us. And he, it's because he cares about us, and he loves us, and he's concerned. And in his way, we can. I don't know if you feel comfortable with God watching you all the time. I think there's some kind of that he wasn't watching, but I know that he is. And so that's wisdom. To know and to recognize that, to understand that, is wisdom. And so. That's what we want to talk about. I just had one word that I didn't complete the last time I spoke, and it was this word knowledge, and it's like gnosis. Yeah, is the big form. It's Strong's number 1108, and I'm going to look at it in Ephesians 3:19. By the way, I probably should do this, although I'm praying all the time. I'm praying as I'm thinking. But I should just say from prayer, Lord, we do come in your presence, and we do ask that you will open up the eyes of our understanding and our hearing. We believe our time is very important. It's important to you, how we utilize it, and it's important to us how we utilize this time. So we trust this time will be profitable, that those that hear would put it in their hearts and minds, and think about it. And if it's valuable to their understanding, we ask that we just open our eyes and ears that we might know. We want to know you. We want to know your ways. And we want to know how you think, so that we can match up our thinking, our ways. May they be pleasing unto you. We ask all these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, for his sake. Amen. So let's go over to Ephesians 3:19. Just look at another couple. Ways that they wanted to explain. concerning knowledge, which uses the word knowledge. But I thought that was against the rules for dictionaries. And they didn't do that. Apparently, in this case, they didn't, couldn't think of a better word. I think they thought we all knew what wisdom and knowledge is. But I find it like, it's not so much important what I think wisdom and knowledge are, but it's more important that I understand and get to know God's wisdom and knowledge. So it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost. He was a guy that was a, Paul was a guy who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, very religious, full of zeal. And he devoted his life to serving the Lord. But when he started out, of all things, he's putting Christians in the prison. And he's going to these stonings and consenting to stone these people that were believers. And so he looks at those things that he did, those things that he thought. And he added all those things up. That's what it means when he counted. He kind of added them all up. And he said, you know, all those things were but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Amen.
To whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So, you know, if you spend a lifetime building things up and working hard at this, and then all of a sudden, you see, that wasn't really what the Lord wanted. It's a loss. It was a waste of time. Although I think he learned some things from doing it all, but it still was a waste of time. And again, that's the one commodity that each of us has that should be very valuable to us, because we don't get to go through this experience twice. We go through it once. And the Lord will reward faithful service. And by the way, I believe people can be believe a lie with all their heart, and no matter how they justify every action that they take, when it all comes down to it, it's really what God says. And what He says is acceptable. It means believing a lie doesn't really change anything. It's still a lie when you all said and done. It doesn't really affect God. If believing the lie, because He doesn't count for that. It doesn't count up for you. So when Paul says, I count all these things with loss, it was a way of rethinking what had been so valuable to him, so important to him, and now all of a sudden realizing that it has no real value. And the real value is to know the knowledge and have knowledge in Christ. He also says, so the loss of all things, and you count that a dung. I don't even know that it's a figure of speech, but it certainly means it's something that belongs to the treasury. It's something that's no real value. Something he doesn't want to, you know, keep thinking about and repeating. That I may win Christ. And I'm thinking that really shouldn't have been a problem for Paul. But when you think about him thinking about his own life and the value that he put on it and how he judged it, whether it was worthy or not, we might look at it differently than what he put in his own life. He says that he found, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I think that's sometimes why this life is a little hard to sell in the beginning, a little hard for us to choose this. If you know for sure, guarantee that you're going to have to suffer, sometimes it makes us hold back a little and causes us sometimes to rethink things because we really don't desire to suffer. Job put a better word in here. He said it's enduring. there will be some suffering involved with this life, with this walk that the Lord is trying to teach. And by the way, I think some of these lessons, some of the wisdom is so that we will be very much aware that what we're going through is supposed to be teaching us something. You know, it's not God being mean or angry or punishing us. It's His way of trying to teach us a lesson so we can be more like Him. If you can imagine, we're still being molded and changed to be more like Him. This crucible of testing is something that helps accomplish. So I think the people that truly understand the wisdom of God and the knowledge that He wants us to have are going to suffer. Part of that, I think, might be being misunderstood. I said earlier when we talked about Paul having a conflict. And I think sometimes when people don't understand this, this happens to me, when people don't understand what I'm saying, or they hear something different than what I said, my response is, well, I never said that. But I get that. I get people say, well, I heard you say, we used to have a friend, a brother, Herb Britton, and he used to like to go over and say, well, Bob Gunther said this, and Bob Gunther said that. And I told him, I said, Herb, if I want to go over and say that, I'm perfectly capable of telling him what I think. And I said, use the scripture. The scripture says that. Because that's basically what I was trying to share with him in the first place, was not so much what I said, but what the scripture said. Because that's what you're judged on, not what Bob Gunther says. But I know that's frustrating. I know it's frustrating to not to be understood. I think the Lord experienced that when He was talking to people. He could read their minds. So some of the questions that they asked, He knew they were trying to trick Him. They were just trying to cause a problem. And they really didn't want to know the answer to those questions. And so when He would give them an answer, and if they were non-believers, He answered that question in such a way that it hit the truth. And I think it's so they couldn't use that against Him. But I think it's frustrating. I think when He weeped, because when He talked to His people and they didn't understand what He was saying, I just think it broke His heart. You know, he's got some valuable information for them. He explains it to them. And they don't understand it. They say, why didn't you speak to them in parables? You know, why didn't you just say it plain and straight out? But He said that he said it to reveal the truth to you and not to the other. So I think that's a principle in wisdom that we should understand. That's why sometimes the scriptures are a little hard to understand. Because it has the truth in it. And sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, or they want to misuse the truth. I've heard people say that they believe such and such, and they read it out of Matthew. Well, that promise was made to Israel, to the Israelites, and they can't just find that and make it theirs, especially if they don't want to take all the Matthews that were also there. In other words, he said, this is available, but this is also available if you don't. And they don't want the curses, just the good things. But I say, well, you're stealing. That isn't yours. He didn't offer it to you. So that's another piece of wisdom that we should read, see who he's talking to. Like the address on the envelope that David was talking about. It is a very important booklet that we understand that it's all there available to us, but not everything is true for today that we need to look at. So, now I'm going to go to Romans 11, 33 to 36. I'm going there. I want you to go there with me.
Romans 1,
chapter 11, 33 to 36. And the reason I want you to go there with me is I won't do it intentionally, but I might read this incorrectly. And if I do, feel free to point that out. know the truth.
Be really sincere and honest with you. I want to know what the Bible says. And even though this is written in American English, I have a tool on my computer here that lets me find out. I know the Lord spoke in Greek. Yeah, Koine Greek. And so I know that I can have helps here if I have questions to help me know what these words mean. But he says, oh, the depth and the riches, oh, the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments? I don't know if that's so 100% true today. The people he was speaking to, perhaps it was completely, maybe the Bible wasn't completely written at this time. Maybe there were some things that they didn't understand. But I think this is, to me, it's more of a figure of speech than it is the total reality. I know the mystery of his one body. That wasn't revealed. It says it was hidden in God. So that truth, I know it was. But I'm thinking about God as love. I think we can prove that. I think we can find that out in the scriptures. I think it's there. But when it comes to his judgments, we have an expression that I hear a lot on the news and reading the paper. And it says, that isn't fair. And I'm thinking, how is it not fair? It's unfair to them, they say. They have an expression that they use. They say, we shouldn't discriminate. And yet the scripture says that we should. It says we ought to compare scripture with scripture. So I'm thinking, what you think is fair is really something you come up with to justify whatever it is that your action you're doing. And that's not according to God's standards. So he says, how unsearchable are his judgments? And in his ways, and past finding out. Now, he's telling us to learn about wisdom, he's telling us to know about knowledge, but evidently there's some things that he has hidden in himself that either, I do know that our ways are not his ways, and we don't think like he does. So maybe from that degree, this is impossible for us to ever think exactly like he does. But I think the goal is that we be like-minded, that we think like he does. So I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit perplexed by what he says here, because I think he's telling me that I need to know about wisdom and knowledge, and then he's saying here, well, this is not good. It's unsearchable. And it's past finding out. For he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? And it seemed to me like the Lord is revealing that to us and telling us in this dispensation that we ought to have the mind of Christ. So I find that whoever he was talking to, whoever he was explaining things to, at that time, there must have been some things that he considered to be hard to understand. And he said, pass on. But I'm going to suggest to you that I think the Lord has a special relationship with us as members of his body, that he wants to reveal these types of thoughts. Not that we should learn how to judge others, because believe me, I don't want to get into that at all. I'd rather not judge. I can't even judge myself well. So I don't want to get involved in trying to judge somebody else's motivation, what they do. So that's what he's suggesting here, that we're not going to understand these things because we don't know how to judge. We can't judge properly. And we won't understand why. That's the advantage of having foreknowledge. The Lord knows if a certain action that he takes is going to get a certain reaction, then he can utilize it. And we don't understand it at the time because, let's take the question of death. Why did that person die if they're not? It doesn't look to me like they had a full life. But the Lord looks at it, in his mind, and he can say, what do you know about that? What do you know about what that person knew or understood? Maybe they have lived a Those kinds of things to me are unsearchable. Those kinds of judgments are unsearchable. But I do know the Lord knows about it. I know His timing is perfect. But I know a lot of times it's not so much that person, their life, and how it affected, but how that person affected others. You know, that to me is something that the Lord only knows about. And I said, let's see. He said that another good point he makes here. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has been his counselor? And I ask the question, who could be qualified to be his counselor? He can only counsel himself. There's nobody else at his level. His level of understanding, his level of knowledge, his level of. So I think he did it within himself. But he does write this book with the sense that when he lays out his plans, that he wants them to be fair and just and reasonable and good. And he wants it to be a benefit to the people that he is. So he goes on to say, for who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed or repaid. Again, the fact of that matter is, he gave and shed his blood for us, and that's something that he can't ever repay. It's only something that we could be willing to live for him. We certainly can't die for him, because that's, you know, what his death accomplished, our death can't accomplish. Because we're sinners, born sinners. For he says in the last verse, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever.
To who?
Be glory forever. And to whom is someone pointed that out earlier, which I can't really about. We're never a which, we're a whom. And you know, he's not referring to us as animated objects, but rather we're human. We're human beings made in his image. The next verse is in Hebrews 3:10. It's funny when I put this together, I didn't think I had them. But I'll tell you, this type of stuff, the theme that we picked for this year, I think it's something that it just makes you think about the Lord. And you start thinking about these things, and just think about wisdom and knowledge and all these things. They make you think about the Lord and what He's done. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10. The more I get to know the Lord, the more I love Him, and the better I think I am. It's amazing. The stuff I don't know is a lot more than I know. But I wasn't wise enough to know that when I was younger. You know, that I didn't know a lot of things. He continues to open my thinking, to help me understand. And looking out, our Savior, our God, our Lord. So he says in Hebrews 3:10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart. He's got to be referring to them. And they have not known my ways. Well, if you don't know something, how can you do the right thing? It seems like these people were ignorant on purpose, or by design. They said, we don't want this guy to be our God, our Lord. And so, that's another one of those things that God can't do. He cannot make you believe. He, by design, He limited Himself in that. And you know, we think, well, it's sure going to be a lot easier if you could just make us believe these things and not give us a choice. But then that's not love. You know, love is giving you that opportunity to make that choice.
Let's go back to Proverbs 3:6. This was Nate Baker's verse.
I would have thought it was in the vision, but no one went to the funeral. And Ossie gave that, by the way, which was interesting. And he read out of her own Bible those things that were important to her. And this Proverbs 3:10 was one of them. It's the one that says, but this, yeah, this is what it says. In all the way, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, you know, that seems like such a simple thing, but that's, a lot of times wisdom is like that, and it's kind of simple. It's something you can put into practice. And so, if you think about the Lord and your actions and your ways, it would make sense that you could have confidence in Him that He would direct your path. I know this isn't in our dispensation, but you know, some of these things go over dispensational boundary. This is one of these truths that it's true then, if it's true now. With this promise, even though it's not made directly to us, it's very similar to what we're reading in Ephesians about him being concerned and caring about what happened today, what choices they made. Chapter 5, verse 21. And I just think this is part of the wisdom, is knowing what the Lord wants. A lot of people ask that question, well, what's God's will for my life? I think, well, we find it in the book. He makes himself very clear that he wants you to walk in his ways, walk in the path that he has chosen for you. So 5:21, he says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. That was that part I was telling you about the verse that I read.
Just reminded me that he was watching. You got to think, as busy as it is, boy, is he interested in my life. But I guess the real thought is we don't have to do anything any more than just acknowledge it. It says, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his own. It just means, you know, he's considering. The Lord is considering and thinking about it and judging you accordingly. Chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's somebody who's just lazy. And consider her ways. And be wise. And you know, the point about that, especially the worker bees and the ants, is they seem to work at cars. And I think there's something to be said for that for each of us, that we wouldn't be lazy. That we would not only have to take care of our own families, but that we could have to take care of others and help them with their needs. I've got some other passages. I will not go there and read them. Just take the time. Proverbs 14:14, Proverbs 16:25, Isaiah 55:8-9, Hosea 14:9. And all those had to do with the ways. Just talking about his way, how he's concerned with. Now I want to go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians 3.
going to go before kings. And I can't remember the third one. But all those things he did, that was part of his life. And he knew from that point that he was going to. It says, being made conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I like to hear people when we go to funerals, I like to hear talk about that. Talk about resurrection. Because these people aren't anywhere other than asleep in Christ, the ones that kill us. But he goes on to say, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, yet that I may be apprehended, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he wants to get lined up with the plan that God has for him. That's the plan he wants to follow. Whatever the plan is, the Lord has for him. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:11. I think when people, I know when each person, and part of the reason I pick this thing is that you can go through these verses and every time you go through, you can come up with a different lesson. This one was just one that occurred to me while I was here. 1 Timothy 6:11. But it just made me think, I really want to follow the Lord's plan for my life. And I'd like to, I've never really thought of myself as a leader, but I know when you get stuck in positions of leadership, you make choices and they not only affect you, but they affect others. So when you think about this following, you have to think, well, how did Paul's life affect others? Well, it affected my life a great deal. Because he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And that's us. He says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. Most people I talk to don't have much patience and they want more of it, but they don't want to go through what's necessary to get it. And so they struggle. But the Lord wants us to be patient, to have patience. And especially not murmuring and complaining. Meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Just because of the sake of time, I'm not going to read these two verses, but 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22. And then there's three more. Well, I need to read this one. Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. But the final thing I said was about this mind. And I think of it as a mindset and an attitude. And of course, I didn't realize this until I got older. But our attitude is really the most important. Why do we do what we do when we do it? And I found in the secular world, in my real job, that I got in a whole lot less trouble when I did it with the right attitude. Because you don't always get the boss that you like. I was foolish enough to say I couldn't get one any worse, but the Lord would do that sometimes. I mean, I'm much worse than the guy I had. But that comment could say that. But I did find out when I started doing things for the right reason, I used to like to witness at work. But you know, I thought about that. We're a witness at work, whether we're talking about the scriptures or not. And I was actually on the company's time being paid and talking about the things of the Lord. Not that they're not important, but that wasn't being a good witness. Because I should have been the guy that was paying for my time. I should have been serving him. I should have been doing that job. So when I changed my attitude and started doing it more like that, I still witnessed, but not for near as long. And I didn't get into conversations that were really in depth. I would save those for later, for the break room, or for after work, or something like that. So then I felt much better. have the same love of the Lord in that that we have. We encourage one another, and as it was brought out earlier, we are knit together. The Lord did it. And these conferences should do that. Should do that for us. They should help us to be knit together, to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. All I can say is, if you haven't tried these things, try it. I think if you start caring about the welfare of others and how they see things, the eyes that they're looking through, it helps us a great deal to be more sensitive to what they're, to their thoughts. When other people are expressing themselves, we need to listen. And sometimes Val and I will ask a question and say, how you doing? And people actually tell us. And it takes longer than I expected. But I do find I get to know these people more, and then I pray for them. It's the one thing that I feel that we can do. And sometimes we even do something for these people that have problems, situations that they want the Lord to intervene on. So look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let or allow this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So, you know, I think we ought to be, because I'm saying, you being in the form of God, God did not robbery to be equal to God. I'm thinking, well, he should, he is God. He is the only God I will ever know or see. He's the only God I'll ever be able to totally understand. And I don't think I'll totally get there because I'm in Revelation. So I'm thinking some of the things about wisdom and knowledge and that, I think we're going to be in the process of learning about these things in resurrection. And I think the Lord will reveal those things to us. But I do believe that it's some of the relationships and some of the things that we think are so important now. When we get in the, when Christ lives, our lives shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. I'm not so sure some of these things are going to be all that important. I really think just being in his presence and being able to think like he does and see things the way he sees them, that we won't have those questions or they won't be as important to us anymore. So thanks again for your staying awake and listening. I trust the Lord will be able to use some of these verses to help you in your pursuit, in your race, to be the race that we're all in, which is helping each other to be one. So thanks again. Hopefully there's a conference coming up in October. I know most of the speakers are invited to that. Hopefully some of you will be able to make that. It's a long time between October and June of the next year, so if you get an opportunity or you can do that, I know it'll be profitable. Thanks again. We love you guys, and we appreciate all that you do, especially Pete Rosemary for what you do here, and the people that assist you. We know that it's a lot of work, and we appreciate your hospitality and the things that you have provided for us. So thanks again.